Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening, smartly, to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
Drogba! They've pulled the rabbit out of the hat again!
What's up, everyone? You're listening to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, your number one source for all things Chelsea. This episode, we're going to be analysing Chelsea's best attacking performance under Tuchel against Crystal Palace before we head back to Seville to break down our Champions League quarterfinal second leg against Porto. Now, here are your hosts all the way from the UK, Mikey Berth and Chris.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. I am your host, Mikey, and I'm joined, as always, two co-hosts, Berth, Chris. How are we doing on this lovely sunny week?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Glad to be here at the weekend. It feels like this week's gone on forever and ever, but I'm quite good. Chris, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, very good. Easter holidays, so been at home with the kids, so it's not exactly a holiday, but it's as close as you can get to one when you've got kids.
It's true. It's true. I don't know that yet, but I'm sure I will.
Yeah, neither do I, but we'll take your word for it, Chris.
Yeah, to be fair, I just said sunny week and it snowed Monday, so...
Only in England could it snow and then be sunny.
Britain summed up. Well, obviously, we've been dropping some extra content on YouTube as well. We're just going to throw this in before we do the news bit. Hopefully you're enjoying and checking that out. The podcast at the moment, it's going to be on YouTube, but the video side, because it was just my face, the whole video just didn't make much sense for everyone to just stare at that for the whole 30, 40 minutes. So I thought, no, we'll just leave it with a nice thumbnail. So you get to stare at Mason Mount's face instead last week. Much better, I'm sure. But yeah, so with that, we're going to head straight into the newsroom and we're going to see what the latest is at Stamford Bridge. Back-to-back double game weeks. I mean, as an FPL manager, you would love it. But obviously, Champions League, it doesn't count in the FPL, but it counts for us. First off, though, we had a short trip and it was to Selhurst Park to take on Crystal Palace.
He'll feel so confident now. He's found Pulisic! Whoa! Christian Pulisic has rifled home a second. Reece James and tucked in by Christian Pulisic with his second of the afternoon.
Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 4. A truly dominant performance from the Blues. A truly exceptional attacking performance at that. Guys, I'm going to ask the question. Did Captain America reclaim his shield? And more importantly, his place in this starting 11 going forward ahead of Timo Werner?
I mean, yeah, he was very, very good. I think... He's shown glimpses of his former self in the past couple of games. And then the Palace game was like the old Pulisic of last year. And it's really, really good to see as a Chelsea fan because I think on his day, I think you could argue he probably is our best player. Even with the talent we've brought in, I still think he's probably one of our best players without a doubt. And he was unplayable at times against Crystal Palace. And in the Porto game as well, he was absolutely excellent. He's got that Eden Hazard sort of low centre of gravity. He's probably quicker than Hazard, I'd say. I don't think he's as balanced as Hazard. But on his day, he's absolutely unplayable. And Crystal Palace, that game showed that. I mean, his desire as well for the second goal was absolutely incredible. And it's not the first time he's done that. And that's what you want to see from a Chelsea player, a desire to get into the box and to finish when it matters the most. And he did that, and fair play to him. It's good to see Captain America back playing for Chelsea.
I'll actually pull up, before we bring in Chris on this, I've just seen the top speed comparisons between Hazard and Pulisic. Hazard hit 21.76 miles per hour and Pulisic has hit 21.4. So he's just slightly slower, slightly.
That is surprising because I feel that in a foot race, I feel Pulisic would take Hazard.
But probably would Hazard now. Probably
got,
I mean,
Hazard's got quicker feet. I mean, yeah, now it's Pulisic.
Bless him,
all day
Hazard's,
long.
Hazard's hamstrings would potentially go. I mean...
both their hamstrings potentially would go.
Oh, late, God, right? Yeah.
The might not last very long. But yeah, I feel that Pulisic in a foot race is very, very quick, whereas on the ball, Hazard may be slightly quicker. But yeah,
it's a fair
Pulisic,
point.
Fantastic. Really good to see him back flowing again.
Yes. Chris, thoughts on Pulisic and just that Palace, that victory we secured?
Oh, I was really pleased with Pulisic, actually. I think for the first time, probably since the FA Cup final of last year, it looked like he trusted his body again. I think until then, every time I've seen him play, it's looked like he hasn't wanted to push himself in case he gets injured. And it just seemed as though, I think the getting the goal so early in the game really helped him. it's just that confidence and that adrenaline got flowing, and then he just played, and it's definitely his best performance since before last season's FA Cup final. And it's really good to see him back, because I agree with Berth. I think despite all our signings, an on-form Pulisic is still one of our best, if not our best attacking player. And it was really pleasing to see him back to something like his form from last season. I thought the game as a whole was probably the most complete Chelsea performance I've seen in a long time. We controlled the ball. We stopped counter-attacks. We never really looked in danger of conceding a goal. You know, the one that they did get was a good cross and a good header. And if you get the ball to Benteke in the box and he's up against a fullback, he will score those sort of headers. So there wasn't too much I could moan about, really, with the goal that we conceded. But going forward, especially in the first half, was definitely the best I've seen us for a long, long time. Havertz was absolutely sensational in that opening 20 minutes. Some of his touches was unbelievable. If he had scored that goal where he brought the ball down over his shoulder and put it over the defender's head in one movement, and then it's such a shame that he sort of mishit the volley, because it would have been such an incredible goal. But the overall performance was the first time in a long time I couldn't fault us anywhere on the pitch.
Yeah, I think that's 100% fair. I mean, for me, Pulisic, Havertz and Mount are the best front three we have got. I know there's been talk of Hudson-Odoi, but I love that Mount, Pulisic, Havertz. I said false nine. I love Havertz, the false nine. That's what he was doing at Leverkusen last season. And that is why he became that £80 million type player. You know, all three of them looked like they were in sync. They're on the same page. And that potential that they were offering, and the attacking threats in the box and the transitional play, it was just beauty. It worked so well. A little bit more on Mr. Captain America. Pulisic, yeah, he was great, both on and off the ball. He looked hungry again for goals. He seemed to spend less of his timing trying to take on players and instead use that pace that we know he's got. Obviously, we said about Hazard in a foot race, but he used it to get into a position that threatened Palace in that equal manner, which is great to see, you know. Kai, I mean, he looked great. He really did. And similar to Pulisic, looked hungry for it, wanted them goals. Chris brought up that incredible little bit of play that when it was flicked over, you just wanted a goal there. It wasn't to be, but again, I tweet out how I love the false nine. It just works well for us, and it works well for Havertz. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but if I'm going to be critical of Havertz, he needs to clean up his finishing a touch, because he could have easily had two or more, couldn't he, if he'd have just, you know, been a bit more clinical, guys.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I was actually going to say that I think going forward, if he's going to play that false number nine, he has to get better at finishing. But at the same time, I thought he took his goal very, very well. And that attempt where he sort of flicked over the defender's head and then volleyed it, that would have been goal of the season. Like, that showed how good he can be.
That'd be Ballon d'Or. Ballon d'Or, yeah. Straight there.
Yeah. I mean, playing a false nine, when you've got someone like a Havertz, can really work. When Hazard used to play that false nine, it didn't work. So I feel that Hazard hasn't got the body type for it, hasn't got the hold-up play for it. Yes, he's really good on the ball, but he can't hurt you. You can't make those late runs into the box like someone like a Havertz can do. And I think it really plays into his strengths, really, and we really will get the best out of him with him playing this false number nine. Mount, again, looks absolutely incredible. I think you're right, Mikey. I do think that is potentially our best three at the moment. Definitely our most informed three at the moment. I think Tuchel does like to change that front three depending on what team we're playing. I think against Man City this weekend, I do think he'll probably go over Ziyech and Werner up there, potentially, just try and get him behind. But yeah, I think it's a complete performance from us. Havertz was fantastic. His best game in the Chelsea shirt by a mile. I actually thought Reece James had a really good game as well. I think he's been quietly going on the radar recently, but he's been playing really, really well for us and showing how good he can be as well. And yeah, we conceded, which is disappointing, but fantastic performance. And it's a tricky game considering we've just lost to West Brom as well and a difficult trip to Porto coming up. So definitely a tricky game going to Selhurst Park, but complete performance, and you can't knock any of the players out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Palace, we know they've beat us before. They've surprised us, just like West Brom seems to keep surprising us. So I'll be glad when they get relegated, for sure. And then the next new team, should I jinx it and say Norwich aren't going to be that team? But we'll see.
Don't do anything.
The only interesting thing with Hazard and Havertz is that Havertz enjoys playing in the false nine. Hazard was very vocal during Conte's era that he did not like playing in that role and he wanted to be on the wing.
Yeah, that's exactly why Havertz works as a false nine. Hazard didn't.
He wants to be there. Yeah.
And I think Havertz, with his late movement and running to the box and his height, and like the way he drifts across the pitch and he comes deep, it's really hard for defenders to be pulled out and really hard for them to defend against it. Because when you just roam across the pitch like he does, it just pulls people out. And then you got your Pulisic's, you got your Mounts running onto it. It's so hard to defend against. It really is a fantastic position to be good at. And I think Havertz could grow into this role and it could become the best thing to happen to him at Chelsea. I really do believe that.
Any thoughts on Havertz and his finishing, Chris?
I do agree about his finishing. I think he was a bit unfortunate that most of the other chances for him fell on his right foot, which he doesn't look overly comfortable finishing on his right foot. I think if that volley falls on his left foot, he scores. In terms of the false nine thing, I do like him as a false nine, and Liverpool have shown how effective a false nine can be in the Premier League. But I think the main issue I have with it is it's a tactic that requires a lot of good forward passes from your midfield players. Now, I think during the game, I tweeted out about how the difference in the Palace game to all our other games so far was Kovacic and Jorginho passed forwards. They wasn't happy going backwards and sideways. It was the first time in a long time that I've seen both our centre midfield players constantly looking to find Havertz and Mount and Pulisic in them little pockets of space. And I know we're going to talk about Porto in a bit, but you're seeing on the flip side of playing a false nine against Porto, where Havertz really struggled to get into the game. Because if you've got midfield players who aren't going to play forward early, he'll pick up these lovely pockets of space, but they soon disappear if people take too many touches on the ball. I think the false nine, I think, could be perfect for Havertz if we can bring in a midfield player who plays forward quickly, or if Jorginho and Kovacic and Kante can bring that into their game. But I think for it to work, you have to have that sort of midfield player who wants to find people between the lines in one and two touches in the middle of the park.
The thing is, with those two, I think Kovacic and Jorginho, why they're so criticised and why they're so sort of polarising, is because when they play it forward and they play it quickly, like they did against Crystal Palace, like they did against Liverpool and Tottenham and whoever, and Atletico Madrid, they are fantastic and we play a lot better. But when they slow the game down and try and keep possession, you just feel that it's them that's doing it, it's them that's stopping us progressing. They've got a lot of pressure on them too, because when they play well and they pass it quickly, the quick 1-2s, dribbling past players, we're fantastic to watch. But when they slow the game down and try and keep possession, like we did against Porto, and he's just looking to draw and not really looking to go forward, just looking to like stop them from scoring, our attacking play was awful. And I think those two have a major impact on Chelsea going forward. Definitely. If they play like they did against Crystal Palace, we're one of the best teams to watch in the league, I feel, when they're passing it forward and trying to play quickly. But when they slow that ball down, it's easy for teams to defend against. And I think that's where we've got to take more risks with them. Because when they do it, they're fantastic. Jorginho has been fantastic. He had a great game against Porto, don't get me wrong. But when him and Kovacic are on form, we are brilliant.
I think realistically as well, I think Havertz in that false nine is going to be a good thing going forward. Because obviously, it could have changed in 24 hours since we recorded this. It seems to be. But there's apparently an unnamed English club has given up signing Haaland due to the Raiola's agent, his agent, asking for stupid salary. I mean, if you break it down, it's 35 million euros per season is the rumoured amount. That works out at 673,000 euros a week. I mean, it's not my money, but even I'm starting to think, can you imagine being, I think the highest earner our club was on, was it just over 150, was it, or something? It's not as high as like other clubs, but how are you going to defend that? Because all the other players are going to kick, and they're going to kick off in good reason. So we'll see on that. One player, though, who deserves a pay rise, Mason Mount, wasn't he? He played so well. He didn't score, but he scored vital FPL points for me. That's what matters. And he was a big part of the success of that attack. And I saw on social media some actually questioned Sky Sports' decision to give him man of the match. Maybe Havertz or Pulisic were more deserving. I'm not upset, I could say, about him getting out of the match, though. But overall, that team performance, it was very good. You know, good possession, good passing. And it looked like we wanted it. We wanted that victory from the first minute until the last. And obviously, that's such a good response from that West Brom game. That was an absolute disaster. This, you know, it's getting back onto it and trying to get that top four place. So, of course, we'll see how the league goes. We're having a break this weekend for the FA Cup. So, fingers crossed. We're going to be back to talk our second game, which is quite something, in this double game week after this.
For Chelsea fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. Never miss a match with live commentary, goal alerts, lineups, in-game stats and TV and radio links for over 100 leagues globally. Download the free CFC Blues app now from the App Store and Google Play.
Welcome back, listeners. Now, this feels like deja vu, but it was time for our Champions League quarter-final, but this time the second leg, against Porto and again in Seville.
And that's it, the full-time whistle. And the Blues are into the final four. Chelsea march on in Europe, brushing Porto aside in the quarter-finals. And Operation Istanbul remains on.
We're into the semi-finals. That's what matters. You know, we have not been here since 2014, 7 years ago. And we may have lost on the night to, let's be fair, a world-class strike from Mehdi Taremi, or Taremi, whichever way it's pronounced, who I must say, take a bow. Wow, lovely finish. I wasn't even mad about that because the main thing is that sentence, Chelsea are in the Champions League semi-finals. How are we feeling, boys?
Yeah, I'm buzzing. I genuinely feel that we've got a good chance as well. I don't know.
That's what we want. We want that attitude. Let's do this.
Don't get me wrong. I know Real Madrid are fantastic. Got great
They're shit.
Players.
We're going to win it. We're 4-0. 4-0.
But I genuinely feel that this isn't a Real Madrid of Ronaldo. This isn't how Real Madrid used to be. I do feel we've got a chance. I'm not saying we're going to win by any means, but I think we've got a real good chance of getting to the final. Then obviously, in a final, anything can happen. We've shown that in 2012. Could it happen again this year? I hope so. I would love to see it happen again.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? But I think we've got a great chance. So after the Porto game, I was absolutely buzzing. I'm optimistic. I'm also realistic as well. I'm not expecting anything major. I'm not expecting us to win 4 or 5-0 in both legs. It's going to be very close, both ties, but it's just exciting to be in a semi-final again.
Yeah, for sure. Chris?
Yeah, I just echo what Bert said. It's so exciting to be back at that stage of the Champions League where you know that you're going to be watching two 90-minute games where they're going to go all the way, I think, to the wire. And I don't think there's going to be many goals over the two legs, but I think it's going to be tense. I think, you know, I'll be honest, I struggled to be happy immediately after the Porto game just because the game
had bored me. We noticed.
The game had bored me that much that, to be honest with you, I was really disappointed in Porto as much as us. I just thought they didn't make it a game at all. They didn't really treat it like a second leg where they was 2-0 down. It happened in the Real Madrid game as well. I thought the Real Madrid Liverpool game, that was terrible as well. So it just tended to be people just accepting that the score from the first leg was what it was going to end as. But now the dust has settled. You know, you can't not be excited to be in the last four of the Champions League. It's been a long time coming. And I am optimistic. I don't think Real Madrid are anything special, especially going forward. I do think defensively they're strong. That's why I don't think there'll be many goals over the two legs, because both teams are defensively very solid. And I just think it'll boil down to which team take their chances the best.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, Chelsea did enough, you know, and advance. That was the point. For me, one wonder goal doesn't flip that script. We turned up for... Yeah, I saw criticism, but let's be honest, we're 2-0 up. Why try and get a third, a fourth on the aggregate score when we don't need to? We don't need to push ourselves. I know that could be seen as negative. I see it as tactically smart. It's savvy. If, let's say it's Lampard in, and I'm not being harsh on him, I feel he'd probably try and go for it. What if we did, and then it was 2-2? On obviously overall aggregate, or they did score three because we capitulate against West Brom. You just never know. And then everyone would be sitting here going, why did Chelsea bother to go all out attack when we already had a 2-0 lead? You know, it's a difficult one. I see both sides of the argument, but I think the tactical side plays out. We didn't need to go for it. Why should we? to be fair, I thought it was the other way around because Porto just played like that they had the 2-0 lead. It was just foul as many times as you can. It was so many fouls. I mean, Pulisic toughed it out as that primary target. I mean, I counted 427 fouls. Officially, it was 11. But that's the most since Messi against Madrid in 2011. So, you know, at the full-time whistle, I'm sat there thinking, well, not thinking, I'm shouting, get Christian into that ice bath pronto. He must be feeling that pain from all them kicks. I mean, what were your thoughts on just how Porto, just how they played that game?
I think you're right, Mike. I do think that it almost seemed as if Porto had the two-goal lead when really it wasn't that case. You couldn't really tell what their game plan was because barring their goal, they never really ever looked like scoring. I think it's fantastic game management from Tuchel. I do think that yes, it was not negative, so to speak, but we turned up making sure they didn't score. And we did our job, other than obviously the wonder goal. We did our job for pretty much 90 minutes. And Porto's job was literally just to try and get in our faces, almost to just try and make us lose concentration. And I think that's almost the game plan against Juventus, just sort of get at them almost. And I thought our players, deserve a lot of credit for keeping calm, keeping composed, especially Pulisic, who was just getting kicked from every angle. I mean, his legs and shins must be so sore the day after, because it was brutal. He was literally getting kicked all over the park. But I thought, defensively, I thought we were very good. I thought midfield, yes, they were very slow with the ball and he just kept the ball for a large period of the time. But I think Jorginho was fantastic at breaking up the play. Kante, again, not the best on the ball, but breaking up the play and stopping Porto from playing were really, really good. And yeah, Porto stopped us from playing, but it didn't really matter because we didn't need to play. We didn't need to score. They did, and we stopped them from doing that. It was a terrible game, awful game, probably one of the worst games I've ever seen. I mean, that overhead kick didn't deserve to be in that game because it was that good and the game weren't. But yeah, I mean, Chelsea's man management from the manager and the players, sorry, game management from the managers and players were fantastic. Second to none. And I don't think that performance would have happened under Lampard.
No.
And barring the goal, I thought it was a very good defensive display. And we're into the semi-final, so you can't really complain too much.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Beth. I don't know what Porto's approach to the game was. It seemed to me like they come into the game with no belief whatsoever that they could beat us 2-0. And they played the game like that. Like, they just wanted to keep the aggregate score as respectable as they could. And if they could draw the game, they'd be happy with that. I thought the referee didn't help, because I think if he'd handed out a couple of yellow cards earlier on, then I think a lot of those niggly fouls that stopped the flow of the game would have stopped. I think he waited too long for someone, and he just allowed the game to be that sort of broken up. Every time someone strung more than two passes together, someone just kicked someone. And it was one of them games where you just couldn't wait for it to be over because no one was enjoying watching it. And I bet the players weren't enjoying playing in it either. My only problem is, I understand the approach that we didn't need to go and score. And I understand it from the manager's point of view, how he set the team up. What I didn't like was the players' mentality of, we don't need to score, so let's not try to score. Because it looked to me like no one on the pitch wanted to go anywhere near the Porto goal just in case we gave the ball away and got caught on the counter. And I just think that negative passing that come back in is a really risky tactic and mentality to have. Because I think if Jorginho doesn't get a block on that shot from when Mendy passed it straight to, I think it was Corona, and that goes in quite early in the game, it is really hard then to switch your mentality of, we're 2-0 up, we're safe, we're just going to keep the ball, to actually we probably could do with scoring a goal. It just concerns me against better teams. If you invite the pressure like we did against Porto, then better teams will find you out. That's my concern. Because Porto, let's be honest, I said it last week and they proved it this week, are bang average. Yes, they beat Juventus. Yes. But they knocked them out on away goals because Szczesny, in the Juventus goal, can't save a free kick from 40 yards that was along the floor, according to his hands. So, you know, people really bigged Porto up coming into this tie. And, you know, I said last week that it was a good result against them, but we should be beating teams like Porto because they are average at best. And they proved it in this set.
I think Porto were just sort of a more aggressive version of Atletico Madrid. Very hard.
Yeah. But with no
breakdown. Yeah, but no sort of end product. Don't get me wrong, that Moraga worked hard, but I think in front of goal, he's actually quite poor. I think he snatches a lot of chances. Luis Diaz, very quick. Scored a decent goal against Man City, but didn't really do anything against Chelsea. That Taremi, obviously he scored the overhead kick, but other than that, was very poor. And that Otavio, I would absolutely love to smash him into next week if I played football
against
him.
I wonder where we
were going with that. Yeah, sorry, I was a bit X-rated. on a football pitch, I would love to tackle him like he did with Pulisic because, I mean, there must have been a sniper in the stadium or something like that because every time Otavio went down, he'd roll and he'd roll and he'd act as if it's been shot. And I just wonder why he does it. It absolutely baffles me because you don't see us doing that. You don't see.
When I stub my toe, I'm on the floor for about 10 minutes.
I know the game has changed, but that is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, at one point, he literally just got clipped and then he just went down as if he'd been shot on like Call of Duty and he needed to be revived. I mean, it's just. What is happening? I mean, you can see why Juventus and teams struggle against Porto because, let's face it, they are shithouses. It is a horrible team to play against. But quality should always shine through, and we showed that. And yeah, okay, fair enough, we lost on the night, but we showed that overall we are better than them and we deserve to go through.
Yeah, that's exactly fair. I mean, the fallout from the game, oh, wow. Look, Sergio Conceição has claimed that Thomas Tuchel told him to fuck off. I mean, I guess we're back in the playground. You know, I'm telling on you. You know, some reports. I said this on Twitter. I don't know if it's up to date yet, but some reports even stated Sergio's called up Thomas Tuchel's mum to tell on him. It's just like, come on, really? It's the lamest way of diverting attention. You know, a former Porto manager we know very well used to do that. But you think, really? Come on. You set that team up to play a set way. It backfired. Mm. You've got what you put out there. What do you expect? what do you think on that sort of the fallout, you know?
When I read about that, it just made me love Thomas Tuchel even more. I mean, I think a lot of credit has to go to Tuchel. I mean, I could talk about Porto and how horrible they are. I mean, I didn't really mind Porto before this, but after playing two legs against them, I actually hate them now. And I hate their players and I hate their manager. And it's
I said that on Twitter. I went, it's going to be really awkward in the press conference when he's the future Chelsea boss.
Yeah.
Like, oh, do you remember that?
But going on to Tuchel, I think the way he's come in, a lot of pressure of Lampard obviously being a legend of the club and a lot of fans not wanting Lampard to go. I think Tuchel's handled himself brilliantly in the media. He's handled himself brilliantly with the players. I think his man management is fantastic. I didn't think it'd be this good, but I think his man management has been incredible. Game management, fantastic. That Porto game showed that. I think tactically, barring the West Brom game, I think we've been spot on for pretty much the whole time. He's improving players. I think you could argue that Mount has sort of gone to another level now. I think Havertz is slowly showing how good he can be. Players like Jorginho, Kovacic, Rudiger, Christensen, they've stepped up to another level.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in a Champions League semi-final now. We're in an FA Cup semi-final. Would we have got there if Lampard was in charge? Would these players become better if Lampard was still in charge? We know Lampard tactically was out of his depth at times. So I think Tuchel coming in has been a blessing in disguise for us because he's been absolutely fantastic. And at the moment, I've not got a bad word to say about it. And I'm generally, he's got a connection now with the fans.
I agree with that.
I think that's what fans were scared of almost when he came in, that he'd be another Sarri who would just sort of be very standoffish with the fans. But he's come in and the connection's been there from the off and he's been fantastic throughout all of this.
Yeah. Chris, how do you feel on the final four? We've got PSG, we've got Manchester City, we've got ourselves, and of course we've got Real Madrid. Are they the best? They don't feel, apart from City, I'd say, the best teams in the competition. And that sounds weird, but...
I mean, I think if Bayern Munich didn't have the injuries, I think they would have knocked PSG out.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
I think they still should have knocked PSG out, even with the injuries, if you look at the chances they missed, especially in the first leg. And then, I mean, they went to their place and they won the second leg. And, you know, PSG done that classic PSG thing where they almost threw it away and ended up scraping through on away goals against the Bayern Munich team, which I think was missing like 8 first-team players. So, I do think all the teams deserve to be there. I think we said it a couple of weeks ago, actually, that I don't think many of the top teams in Europe are really performing like the top teams in Europe this season, which is probably why you could have looked at any of the quarterfinalists in the semi-finals and thought, are they really in the top 4 teams in the world in Europe right now? So I just think it's one of those seasons. But it does remind me a lot like 2012, where it was, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking, if there's a chance to win it, this is probably the year. You know, I think we're playing a Real Madrid team who are way below the level that they was when Ronaldo was there, when Gareth Bale was on tour.
Yeah.
Still a good solid, but not the one that won 3 Champions Leagues in a row or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Three and 4 years or something, wasn't it? And then I think PSG will always have... You'll always have a chance against PSG because the standard of the league they play in doesn't help them. They've got quality players like Neymar and Mbappe and some midfield players, Verratti and Di Maria. But they'll always give you a chance. And they've got the sort of the Tottenhams about them. They love a bottle job. And then...
I love that dig about Tottenham. Fair play, Chris, for getting that one in.
I think...
And then it's Man City, which you look at it now and Man City must be favourites for it.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, we went into 2012 and we wasn't favourites for that one either. So
that is true.
You know, what could play into our hands there, I think, if it was us and Manchester City in the final, would be the fact that we've been there before. Not with this group of players, but as a club, we've been there before. So, you know, you've got to imagine the pressure on Man City would be like the pressure that was on us in 2008 when we went to our first Champions League final.
I mean,
and that can get to you.
I mean, you can guess who the favourites are for the Champions League. It's City. We're the fourth. We are the 4 for 4. You know, it's not a shock because that's kind of... We're used to it. We were used to it back in 2012. We're used to it now. The only thing, fair play to PSG. I mean, they came joint top of their group with Leipzig and Man United and a very difficult Istanbul side. And then they took out Barcelona, arguably not a very good Barcelona. And then they took out Bayern. So, and now they've got City. So if they got to the final... they're going to be seen as, look what they did. It's irrelevant of how good those teams were. You're going to look at the names in the future and go, wow. So, it's, yeah. But we've had Porto and Atletico. But Atletico, I would have said, was we had the hardest tie in that round of 16. But let's just see how it goes. It's going to be... We didn't expect to be here. Let's just have fun and hopefully make that final. Any final closing thoughts before we leave the dear listeners?
I think what I would say about any of the teams that are left is they're all beatable. You wouldn't be scared to face any of them, I'd say, at the moment. I mean, Man City, you're probably the best team in the competition at the minute. Just lost to Leeds at the Etihad. So I think there's no team that we should fear. I'd back us to beat all of them. But, you know, 2012 proved that anything can happen and some things just meant to be. And this could genuinely be our year again. And if it is, then what a year.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, considering how... Yeah, I mean, 2012, 2021.
There's a lot of things that have happened this year that are reminiscent of 2012.
Oh, maybe not too much. Outside of football.
Well, okay.
No.
Fair enough, there weren't a pandemic in 2012.
Yeah,
but there are a lot of comparisons, and I don't believe in all that it's exactly the same as before, so we're going to win it. I don't believe in that, but what I believe in is this team. I genuinely believe in this manager. I think we can beat Real Madrid. I think we can beat PSG, and I think we beat Man City. Whether we will do that, I don't know, but I will enjoy the ride whilst we can.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. with that, we've come to the end of another episode of At the Bridge Pod. So it's time for the social media plugs, and we've got some good ones this week because, you know, lots of content. Where can we find our co-host, guys?
I'll go first because I think I've got the least social media tags. I'm at Chris Burford on Twitter.
There we go. And Chris, what's going on the pundit's pitch?
So you can find the football blog on Twitter at Pitch Pundits. Interesting piece on there about whether Chelsea should go for Harry Kane. And you can find my personal Twitter at Chris09Adams.
You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram as That Redhead Dude. But for all things At The Bridge Pod, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube by searching for At The Bridge Pod. The aim of the YouTube is to at least post one video a week. We've got one going live Sunday. So if you're listening to this Saturday, that's premiering tomorrow, 9 o'clock British Standard Time in the morning. Hopefully you enjoy it. Drop us a like, a follow, keep up to date on all things Chelsea as you naturally, and obviously subscribe on the YouTube. And if you're really bored, you can see me stream Mario Kart and swear a lot, maybe. But if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us out and helps build this incredible community. You know, we're fast approaching 100 episodes, which is still absolutely insane. Yeah, really is. So we'll be sure to read out any reviews each week and give you credit on the show. You may have seen our tweet about Australia where we were like, I think it was 22nd, was it?
We had Jesse, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Jesse Lingard form. We went up 126 spots. So it was like, wow, okay. That was a nice notification I got this week. So yeah, we'll give you a credit on the show. So till next time, listeners, that is us signing off.